Portions of this program
the
may
following
be pre-recorded.
Program is sponsored.
The opinions and statements made by the host and the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
We're back. John Fredericks Radio Network. Good to have you with us. I'm Trucking the Truth Across America. With us is the owner of Hotel Avalon, Jim Stormont. And just coming in, my old long-lost friend that I'm trying to get him to get back to Washington, D.C. to keep me company is Dr. Paul Brown, running in the 9th District. That is the district of Doug Collins, who replaced, was that Nathan Deal? Right?
Correct.
When he was there, then Doug Collins won. He beat
Actually, there was a person between the two of them. There was Tom Graves.
Oh, yeah, Tom Graves. That's
Tom
right.
Tom Graves won when Nathan Deal left, come back from Washington, from Congress, to run for governor. Tom Graves won that special election.
What happened?
Then, well, we had reapportionment in 2012
right.
election, and Tom moved over to the 14th district, which he's represented up through now.
Good. Okay.
He's retiring. Tom's a great friend and has been a good member of Congress.
He's too young to retire.
Well, he is. I don't know why. I spoke with him not long ago, and he just decided that it's time to move on and do something else in his life. And I applaud that. Tom is a great friend. I will miss him when I get there. I wish he was going to be there when I go back in January.
Well, we need to get you back. So I have a friend in Washington, D.C. Dr. Brown ran for U.S. Senate in 2014,
right,
and that was a very contested primary. There was Dr. Brown, there was Jack Kingston, Congressman, Senator Perdue. Perdue and Kingston got in there. I think Karen Handel was in there.
Right,
perennial candidate. She's like the Harold Stassen of Roswell. I shouldn't say that. So, but she is. Anyway, she ran, and then it was Kingston and Perdue and Perdue. One, but Dr. Brown.
But don't forget Dr. Phil Gingrey. He was my good friend, too.
That's right.
From Cobb County and OBGYN. He served in Congress for a long time. And
well, I got to get you back in D.C. because I'm there during the week. And once you I can do my show from your office, we can have all kinds of fun. We got to get you back. Now, I heard it's a contested primary. It's
right.
It's in July, isn't it?
No, it's June 9th. It's June 6 9th. Weeks from yesterday is the election. So it's June 9th. We have 9 Republicans. It's the third most Republican district in all of America.
So you have 9 Republicans in that district.
Right, and the 3 Democrats. They're wasting their time, the energy, and money,
right,
and effort because a Democrat cannot win.
Right.
As I said, it's the third most Republican congressional district in America.
Wow.
I'm told by the Club for Growth people in Washington that through their research, they think it's the very most conservative congressional district in America. And, John, you'll remember very well, when I was in Congress, I was rated as the most conservative member of the U.S. House of Representatives.
I remember.
It fits me and I fit it. So we're running real hard and we're going to win. We just need the resources and people can go on my website, paulbrown.com, PaulBrown. I spell Brown with you, as you know, John, but my family that can't spell or can't pronounce paulbrown.com, they can contribute, they can volunteer. We have actually interns working for us that are in Texas and even one in California that are helping us to try to win this race back.
B-R-O-U-N, Dr. Paul Brown, running for Congress again, primary June 9th. And it's a runoff situation, right?
Right. Here in Georgia, you have to have 50%
plus one. So you're going to get in the runoff.
Well, unless we have divine intervention, yes, that would be so. There are 9 Republicans. We've got 3 members of the General Assembly. 2 of them have a very liberal voting record. One's 31% conservative, and the other one's 38%. Then we have a young millennial libertarian who's serving in the state house. He has a bad vote. He's voted against Trump and for a terrorist, and that's not going to fly in the 9th congressional district. So it's going to be a contested race. We Just working hard, and the whole dynamics is different since we have this shelter in place now, right. John.
So you can't knock on doors.
Well, that's right. And that's I've always taken my race to the people.
Right.
I've always been an outsider. I mean,
you're a retail campaigner.
Absolutely.
Knock on doors.
Right.
Do the little coffees, the little town halls.
Everything.
I mean, that's always been your style.
Take it
to
the people, because I represent the people, not the special interest and not the establishment politicians.
Let me just ask you something, Doctor. I got a text here. The Supreme Court of Illinois has just overturned the Illinois governor's edicts, basically to get people staying home, can't do this, can't do that, saying that it was totally unconstitutional. What do you think about some of these governors? Are they overstepping their bounds? Obviously not in Georgia with Brian Kemp, but Whitmer, Michigan, Illinois, New York, de Blasio. Now de Blasio says today, the mayor there, if he sees people in a crowd, he told the NYPD, get out the handcuffs and get him the Rikers. Of course, they just let everybody out of Rikers. I guess now they're going to put people back in. Give us your thoughts on this whole thing.
Well, first, let's make it clear. President Trump has not shut down anything. It's not President Trump that's shutting down our economy. He's making recommendations that are based on two ivory tower individuals that certainly have a lot of credentials.
Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx.
Fauci and Dr. Birx.
Swamp creatures.
Well, they are swamp creatures. They've never signed a check on the front. They're still getting their salary today. They don't understand economics at all. I don't think they have any appreciation of economics. But back to your question, John, the thing is, I don't think we ever should have shut down the economy to begin with. And certainly we need to open it up. We're seeing studies. There's one done by Stanford University in the Bay Area. There's one done down in Los Angeles, one also in New York, where they're going and doing antibody tests of people who've never had any symptoms at all. Actually, we were going to have one this weekend here in Fulton and DeKalb counties. I was just talking to Jim about he would like to have that for himself. But, John, back in December, I was seeing patients that had the worst flu that they've ever had, all the symptoms of Wuhan flu, the coronavirus, Chinese virus. Their flu tests were negative. I think we have a whole lot larger number of people across this country who have gotten the Wuhan flu and recovered, not had any problems. Back then, we were having some people die, just like we have people die from regular flu
right.
every year. But 6 months ago, let me tell you, I did a post on my Facebook page where I said, mark my words, before the election in November, sometime next year, this was the end of last year, I said, the liberals and the press, the Democrats, are going to find some way to crash our economy to try to take President Trump out. They weren't able to do so with the Russia collusion. I'm looking for a word here for the hoax of the Russian collusion. They weren't able to do it when they blamed him for a phone call to the Ukrainian president, which was perfectly legal, perfectly right. It was perfect, as President Trump said. They impeached him, still could not knock his approval rating down. They were seeing that there was no way that was going to take him out in this election come this November 3rd. And I projected back in the early fall of last year, about 6 months ago, that something was going to happen to try to crash the economy to take President Trump out. Evidently, there was a video that a friend sent me, but it's been taken off of YouTube, where Dr. Fauci said in 2017, I believe, that there was going to be a pandemic here in America that was going to crash our economy. Mm-hmm. How did he know that? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I'm just very suspicious. Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx are swamp creatures.
Neither of these doctors, they're government bureaucrats
right.
in Washington.
Exactly.
I mean, they're part of the swamp. I think Trump's got to fire the two of them. I can't. The guy Fauci, when he comes on TV now, I get a repulsive reaction. I just can't stand the guy. But the thing is, Doc, I mean, you were in Congress. You had a communications team, and
right.
they put out a message. right?
Right.
And so what we've got going on here is President Trump and Vice President Pence get up. They put out a message of the day. And as soon as the press conference is over, Fauci runs over to CNN and disputes everything he says.
Right.
What organization can survive that way? Jim, that would be like you're the owner and managing partner of Hotel Avalon, and you have a website, you have all the branding you have, and then you have a general manager who goes on TV and says, well, that's not really true. You know, we don't really do this, and we don't do that, and our... You know, to be honest with you, our breakfast is way overpriced, and I wouldn't go here for dinner either because, you know, the steak's not that good. You couldn't have her. You would fire her tomorrow.
Yeah.
So how does this go on?
Well, it's going on, I think. Well, you asked Jim the question, so I'll shut up.
I have a sense that the federal government's a little dysfunctional right now in that we're getting all these mixed messages from the different players. But... You know, we're trying to just be boots on the ground here to deal with the reality of a business. I mean, I have some other hotels as well, but this, I must say, this is my primary focus. We've got to find a way to safely get business back to action, because I can't sit here. I'm not depending on the federal government to solve all my problems. We need to solve our own problems, and the only way to do that is to generate business and start the economy going again.
Right. And we need to do it as right away. I think I applaud President Trump is talking about trying to get our economy going. I really applaud what my good friend Governor Brian Kemp is doing to open up the economy here in Georgia, but also he's got a swamp creature in Dr. Toomey here in Georgia. She is a government bureaucrat. She's an ivory tower person. She's kind of that same mentality as Fauci and Burks. And so, unfortunately, President Trump has too many people that he should have fired long ago.
Exactly.
As part of his administration. I think there are people within the White House that are trying to destroy the Trump presidency and have been for the last 3.5 years. He needs to have a complete overhaul in his next term of what is going on in the White House. I'm real concerned about even people who are very close to him. I'm not going to name any names, but there's some people very, very, very close to him that I think are bad advisors to President Trump. We've got to get America going again to make America great again. I'm a very ardent supporter of President Trump and have been all along.
Right.
Ever since my good friend Ted Cruz was no longer in the picture, I supported him initially. And then when he was gone, Ted Cruz and I are good friends.
Right.
And we were in the trenches together fighting our own establishment. But as soon as Ted was gone, I jumped on the Trump train, and I've been there very solidly since. And I think President Trump is doing a great job under the circumstances, but he's got bad advisors in these two, Burks and Fauci, and I applaud what Governor Kemp is doing. I hope that he will continue. They shouldn't look at the polls, because the polls are skewed.
Right.
They're skewed because the press has done everything that they can to scare the pants off every American. And they've been very successful.
Oh, very successful.
Very successful. But the press wants to take Trump down as well. And so I think it's all part of
the way to take it down is by tanking the economy. I mean, why are that?
That's what I said 6 months ago.
Well, the pandemic is nonpartisan, right? The COVID-19 is nonpartisan, Republican or Democrat. If you get it, you get it. Yet, why is it that all the Democratic governors in swing states don't want to open the economy up and get businesses back? Wisconsin, Evers in Wisconsin, Wolf in Pennsylvania, the governor of Minnesota. You look at the Cooper in North Carolina, all these swing states, they're doing everything they can to keep things locked down as far as they can. Why?
I think it benefits them somehow, and because I think that they're all part of that liberal, progressive, communist, socialist, all those are synonyms of each other, Democrat.
The longer the economy is in lockdown and Jim Sturman's hotel has got 218 people furloughed, and he's at 5% of his revenue base, right? People aren't going to be excited about going out and voting for Trump when there's 35 million people unemployed, right?
Yeah, I think it gets down to the fear factor, though, also. I think people, just rationally, people are afraid. And, you know, I don't want to die.
Well,
I don't want my friends to die either. But I think the statistics are really more in our favor than people give it credit for. And I don't know why. I get various, like everyone does, various emails, you know, notices and updates every day of these various graphs. And the people putting these graphs together are not statisticians because they're misleading. And I really think, but people look for what they want to see in a graph. But I think the percentage of deaths to the people that actually had or have had coronavirus is very low.
Now, I agree with that. In fact, back in December, in January, I was seeing patients that had the worst flu that they've ever had. All the symptoms that they have are very similar to what this Chinese virus is all about, the Wuhan flu, as I call it, the coronavirus. I believe they, and their flu test, strep test, were all negative. So I believe they had this virus back then.
So they went, so there's so a you, big, had, you had patients seeing you in your medical practice.
Right.
You're a medical practitioner, you're a doctor,
right.
Come to your office, had all the flu symptoms, you do strep, they come back negative, and you were like, I don't know what this is, so take two aspirin, go to bed type of thing.
And people back then actually died just like they do of the flu every year. We've never shut down the economy for any flu. Now, don't get me wrong, this is a bad virus. It is a new virus. I believe it was very likely developed by humans in China. And we know that Dr. Fauci even went over to the Wuhan facility there back a few years ago, and he was involved with all this. So I don't know what his function with this particular virus was all about. And back in 17, as I said, there was a video, I'm told, that said that we were going to have a bad pandemic in this country before the Trump administration was up for reelection. So I'm just very suspicious of these folks. But the problem we have, Jim and John, is a denominator problem. They're just looking at people who have had the positive test and how many people have died with that. Here in the Atlanta area, Emory University, I understand, just this weekend, are going to go out in neighborhoods in Fulton and DeKalb counties, knock on doors, and do blood tests on people that have never had the symptoms,
right,
to try to find out in this area here in Atlanta, right, who actually has had exposure to the coronavirus and has developed antibodies. And
right,
I think if we extrapolate those numbers of, right, those studies that were done in New York, were done by Stanford University and UCLA,
right,
if we extrapolate them to the population there,
right,
the number of people who've actually been exposed, developed antibodies, are much, much higher than those people who had the test. The people who had the test are the people who are very symptomatic and are sick.
Right.
God tells us in his inerrant word that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and we have ways, if our body's healthy, particularly if our gut is healthy, of fighting off these viruses,
right,
and staying healthy. And I think what we're going to find eventually, if we can really do the studies, is that this has been a bad virus. Certainly, people are died, unfortunately, but it's not as bad as the press have been making it out to be, and how the press has just gotten people petrified of this virus. Everybody thinks they're going to die if they have any exposure to it. And I can tell you stories. In fact, I was working in one of my friend's offices. I was in actually an adjoining office. It's just a little narrow a passageway between, right, between where I was, and I was in the front of an office. There's a second office next door with this little passageway, and there's a lady working in the back of that office, and she thought, just, I never saw her. She thought that I was going to give her mother and her child the Wuhan flu just being in that office.
Right.
I mean, it's just totally hysterical.
The media has created the hype.
Right.
They've created the fear, and they've done this for one reason. Take Trump out.
That's right? Exactly right.
They don't care. They don't care what business goes under, what families are shattered, what the alcoholism is, what the drug overdoses are, what suicides are, domestic violence, divorce. They don't care. Shatter business. And this is the other thing, right? Small business owners are the enemy of the Democratic Party.
Right.
I mean, I've been saying this forever. They are the enemy. They are the thorn in the side of the DNC. DNC hates small businesses. They hate them because they all vote for Trump. They're part of the deplorables. They employ millions of people in the United States, and they can't control them, right?
That's right.
So they hate small. So, like, put them on. So, I mean, these three studies have been done, Stanford, USC, and New York. None of them get any play in the media. It's like they don't exist.
Right. We're fixing to have that one here in Atlanta, too.
Paul, when are they proposing to publish the results? Is this just this weekend, 2 days of testing?
That's my understanding. They're going to go knock on doors in Fulton and DeKalb counties here in Atlanta and talk to people and ask them if they would submit to a blood test. They're going to do a
It's
all random. They're going to ask people if they've had any symptoms, and they're only going to test the people who have had no symptoms whatsoever, been perfectly healthy. And I think you're going to find a fairly significant number of those people that actually have antibodies to the coronavirus.
I am very excited to hear the results of that.
Well, the question is, as John was saying, the press doesn't report these things because it goes against their
media. Because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Right.
This isn't about science or results or follow the medical. I mean, I just got one of my Democrat listeners in Richmond, Rufus, text in, and he says, John, swing state governors are not communists. They're the real conservatives putting lives before corporations. Wake up, John Rufus. I mean, look, Rufus, you know and I know the Democrat governors that are keeping things shut down in swing states are doing it to tank the economy so that Biden carries those states. I mean, come on. It's just the medical community doesn't matter. Science doesn't matter now. Nothing matters because if it doesn't fit their narrative. So the Stanford study, nobody picked it up in the media. Either did the USC study, either did New York City. Nobody picks it up because it doesn't fit their narrative.
Right.
And their narrative is stay home, be afraid, wear a mask, don't go out. People are dying, body bags in cul-de-sacs, tank the economy, get checks from the government. Hey, in November, we'll have to do a mail-in ballot. Biden wins. You know what the ultimate vaccine will be? Joe Biden. When he wins, all of a sudden, the Democrats and the media will do an all clear on November 6, 2020. All clear.
God help
us.
Get
back to work. We found the vaccine. President-elect Joe Biden. Stay with us. John Frederick's Radio Network. We're with Dr. Paul Brown. We're with Jim Stormont. He's a business owner. Dr. Brown, get accustomed to saying Congressman Dr. Brown.
I love that.
He's going back to Washington with me. Misery loves company.
John Frederick.
We're only measuring one side of the equation, the virus side. There's a little ticker with how many people have the virus, how many people have died from the virus. We get that. It's bad. It's sad. There needs to be a complementary chart showing how many people are unemployed, losing their homes, treated for alcoholism, drug abuse, family abuse, domestic violence, all of that.
Stay connected online and take them wherever you go. To get the free John Frederick Show app, follow on Twitter at JF Radio Show.
We got
to
open this economy back up.
May 2nd, 1945. The end is near for World War II in Europe. The Soviet Union announces the fall of Nazi Germany's capital, Berlin. And the Allies announce the surrender of Nazi troops in Italy and parts of Austria. 1519. Leonardo da Vinci, the Italian Renaissance artist who painted The Last Supper and the Mona Lisa, dies in France at age 67. 1863. During the Civil War, Confederate General Thomas Stonewall Jackson is accidentally wounded by his own men at Chancellorsville, Virginia. Jackson dies 8 days later. 1994.
Now is the time for celebration, for South Africans to join together to celebrate the birth of democracy.
Nelson Mandela and the African National Congress claim victory in South Africa's first multiracial election. Mandela, who spent nearly 30 years in prison under apartheid rule, becomes the country's president. 1972, J. Edgar Hoover, who ran the FBI from the Prohibition era through the turbulent 1960s, dies in Washington, D.C. at age 77. And 1903.
Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
Singer and actor Bing Crosby, one of the 20th century's most popular entertainers, is born in Tacoma, Washington. Today in History, May 2nd, Sandy Kozell, The Associated Press. Up at anything he hears.
I got a feel.
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Chipmaker Intel is talking to the Trump administration about building a new semiconductor plant in the United States. This comes as U.S. officials grow more worried about relying on suppliers in Asia for components that are critical to so many electronics products. An Intel spokesman says the company is talking to the Pentagon about improving U.S. technology sources and working with the government to build a new plant. The discussions were first reported by the Wall Street Journal. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says the jobless numbers in the U.S. are probably going to get worse before they get better. He spoke as most states begin to loosen their restrictions on businesses after extended shutdowns designed to slow the spread of the coronavirus. He says that if reopenings are not allowed, it would have permanent economic damage to the American public. This is SRN News.
Eric Metaxas here. Like you, I'm confined to my home, spending time with my family, and one thing we enjoy right now is watching uplifting movies that affirm our faith. But what's there to watch? Well, I have the answer. Introducing Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, a documentary that explores convincing evidence that the biblical account of the Exodus is true. Investigative filmmaker Tim Mahoney journeyed to Egypt, Israel, and throughout the world to search for answers to one very important question. Did the stories like Exodus, as written in the Bible, really happen? And the results of his investigation are monumental. Right now, you can watch Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus at home. Go to patternsofevidence.com. That's patternsofevidence.com. And immediately following the movie, a panel moderated by Gretchen Carlson and featuring Dennis Prager and Graham Lotz and me, yours truly, will provide further insight and commentary on the film. Watch Patterns of Evidence, The Exodus, and others in the series. Go to patternsofevidence.com. That's patterns.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Breezy and cloudy for your mom's day with a high of 73. Cloudy skies tonight, down to about 60. And then sunny skies Monday through Thursday, highs into the lower 80s. Partly cloudy nights Monday through Thursday night, down to 67. And a slight chance of showers starting about Friday.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
Now, more than ever, we need to be concerned about our family's health. Good health starts with good nutrition. For over a decade, Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island has provided families with affordable fresh vegetables, chemical-free meats, and the best vitamins and supplements on the market. Times are tough right now, but we'll get through this together. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island is located on the East-West Parkway next to the movie theater. Stop by the store today and let our family help your family stay healthy. Grassroots Natural Market in Fleming Island. Call 541-0009. That's 541-0009.
These are unique times, and Jacksonville.radio is standing with you. We provide local, family-friendly radio across multiple formats and frequencies with a diverse and loyal audience. Let us help get your message and your marketing into our communities. Call Jax.radio today so we can discuss how we can help your business. Let us help you get the right message in front of the right audience at the right time. Call 904-74-RIGHT. That's 904-747-4448.
It's the best of the John Frederick Show, y'all!
And he's with us now, Stephen K. Bannon. Steve, great to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, John. Appreciate it.
Steve, you've been the leading advocate now of holding the Chinese Communist Party accountable. One thing you said the other day on your radio show that really jolted me is you said you wanted to reject their sovereign immunity. How does that work?
Well, I think it, legislatively, you can do it simply. Actually, the White House can work with Congress to do it. Listen, here's the bottom line. You know, you're seeing all the defenders of this regime in China, this dictatorial regime that really has put tremendous agony and pressure on the Chinese people. What happened in this pandemic? Forget whether it came out of their lab. Forget whether this is part of a bioweapon program that was illegal. Forget whether they were doing these tests on called change of function, which they shouldn't be doing. Let's put all that aside, because that'll be investigated. It's already starting to be investigated by both intelligence agencies and medical professionals throughout the world. They knew, and we know they knew now, by late December of 2019, they had human-to-human transmission and community spread of a SARS-like virus in Hubei province in Wuhan by around Christmas, week of December, in the Taiwan, you know, the Free Republic of China in Taiwan notified the World Health Organization on December 31st. Also, one of the guys I broadcast with into China did a broadcast on December 31st. People, mm-hmm. This was known, this Dr. Li, mm-hmm. who eventually died of coronavirus, he notified officials and others in Wuhan that had this coming into their hospitals. And a group of eight young doctors started talking about it. Those guys were, Dr. Li was actually tortured and forced to sign a confession that he was rumor mongering. That happened around January 2nd or 3rd. The Chinese Communist Party in Beijing and the entire party apparatus knew that they had a beginning of an epidemic that would lead to a pandemic in late December of 2019 and early January. And they hid this. They never mentioned it when they came to the White House. They started operating. In fact, they misled the World Health Organization, who did a terrible job on this. World Health Organization put out a notice on January 12th and followed it up with a tweet that we have and we shared to the world that said on January 14th, after consultation, and this is on the main World Health Organization Twitter account, after consultation with senior medical officials of the Chinese Communist Party, they have told us there's no human-to-human transmission. That is a lie. They knew this at the time. At the same time, they were planning on shutting down, locking down Hubei province, quarantining Wuhan, restricting travel to the rest of China. They were getting ready to lock down, stop this massive migration they have once a year for Lunar New Year, the Chinese New Year. Those were plans Beijing already had in place. Yet, not to stop international travel, including almost 350,000 to 400,000 Chinese, innocent Chinese who didn't know they had it, coming to the United States, okay, and many, many more going to Europe, of which they then came to JFK. This is 100% responsibility. They knew it. They had it so badly that they went around secretly and vacuumed up all the PPE, the personal protective equipment, in Europe, Australia, and the United States, both to have in case it exploded all over China, and number two, to use it as leverage, which they're doing throughout the world when this expanded to the entire world. No, the Chinese Communist Party, the record here is just it's straightforward. And therefore, Southampton University did a study in England that showed that if they had been truthful on the last week of December, if they had just done what any government would have done, 95% of the deaths and 95% of the economic carnage would have been avoided. And John, you know, I heard your march through Georgia that you're going to do next week. 55,000 Americans. This is the greatest mass casualty event in American history for civilians. 55,000 Americans are dead as of this morning. And quite frankly, there's no end in sight. We're at this plateau now of around 2,000 Americans a day. Every day we have essentially an antietam. And this thing is kind of now it's supposed to drop off fairly dramatically, but we haven't seen that in the deaths so far. The deaths continue to be there. And quite frankly, the White House is and Politico had a story. There's 60,000 casualty number on the low end. We're going to blow through essentially Vietnam by the press briefing this afternoon around 5 o'clock, and we'll blow through the 60,000, I think, before the kickoff to the May 1st reopenings of the country's going to start reopening this week. We'll be through the 60,000 deaths this week. That's all laid at the doorstep of the Chinese Communist Party. This bickering we have back and forth between mayors and governors and the president and the White House and all that, that to me is the noise, not the signal. It's the signal and the noise. The signal is it's the Chinese Communist Party is responsible. Not the Chinese people, but the Chinese Communist Party is responsible for all the agony in the world, all the economic carnage in the world, and there are a number of methodologies we can do to go get the money back. Number one, we ought to be thinking about canceling their debt. Number yes. two, we ought to strip them of sovereign immunity. There's a lawyer up in New York that wants to put the JASTA the same way that the victims of 9/11, after being settled by the insurance companies, are now, I think, have a $50 billion lawsuit against the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia for the yes. terrorist attacks in 9/11. We should go after the CCP for that. The American people, you know, every casket and every coffin you see in that mass grave on Hearts Island in New York, and everybody ought to see that photograph. We have a mass grave with prisoners from Rikers Island digging it and just burying Americans, you know, next to each other with no funeral service, no ceremony, just throwing them in an open pit. Okay, that's what your country's come to. Every one of those has a lawyer attached to it, and those lawyers should now get ready. You know, the attorney generals of Missouri and other attorney generals, I think Mississippi announced over the weekend they're looking at it. They ought to go after the Chinese Communist Party, guns blazing, to get the money that caused it, to get the compensation for this horrific event that they caused.
Stephen K. Bannon with us. Stephen K. Bannon, host of the hottest radio show in America, War Room Pandemic. Heard 10 to noon across the John Fredericks Radio Network, Monday to Saturday. He's also on America's Voice.news, channel 219, if you have the dish, and then at Newsmax, rerun at 11 p.m. Steve, let me ask a couple of questions, and let's start with the fact that Beijing did not allow travel. I mean, the CCP didn't allow travel to Beijing, but they allowed travel to the West, right? U.S., JFK,
absolutely.
That's the reason.
They limited travel.
Why did they do that?
They limited travel. And so the two things they did in mid-January that they have blood on their hands is that they didn't tell the world about human-to-human transmission. In fact, they lied about it to the World Health Organization and to the United States, number one. Number two, they limited, locked down China and didn't allow inter-province travel, particularly anything out of Hubei, but allowed Wuhan and Hubei to travel overseas. That's how the disease spread. It got to Milan because of China, and it got to here because the interim step, one, directly from China. President Trump, remember, shut that down January 31st, but still coming through Europe. They locked down domestic travel but allowed it to go international, right? And then the third thing is they went around and swept up. Remember, the key parts of this when the virus first hits is the capacity constraint you have at the ICU units. And the biggest capacity strength, and not ventilators, and it's not beds, as tough and bad as that is, it is doctors and nurses and ventilator technicians. It's the humans. And the only way you protect them is PPE, is personal protective gear. Also, all the problems we have with testing. Remember, one of the biggest problems is personal protective gear for the doctors and nurses or the attendants that take this. They have to have protective gear on. The Chinese went around when they knew they had a problem. They went around to the world. They went around to Europe, the United States, and Australia and swept all that up. When President Trump, remember, it shows you the statesmanship of President Trump and Secretary Pompeo and the goodness in the hearts of the American people. We offered the Chinese, certain personal protective equipment. Remember, we sent masks and things over. They never told us the depth of the problem. So these guys, listen, we're at war with those guys. Warfare today is both information and economic. They have engaged with a hot war, and I've said this for years, on information/cyber and economic against the United States of America and the West to try to make us buckle and become part of their system. Okay, this has been going on for years. It's the reason Donald Trump's president of the United States is that managed decline by our elites. And if you want to see the managed decline, look at Bill Gates' interview. Go to Daily Mail. It's the lead story. It's been all weekend. He did an interview, I think, with the Times of London, where he's taking the CCP side. He's saying, hold, we don't have time right now to look at how this thing started. We don't have time right now. It's not a good time for us to look at whether they told the truth. We have to look at solutions, and they did some pretty good things. Listen, I do believe they did some smart things. They knew they had a problem. They shut down Wuhan the way I would have shut down the United States to try to crash the virus, not try to slow it, try to crash it. So you get in quick and hard, and you get out quick and hard. And I think they did that in a smart way. That's actually a model that I think is a better model than the way we did it. But, you know, we're a democracy, and we have individual rights, and we're a much different system. However, that's got to be put aside. The central part that Gates and these guys want us, all the globalists and all the people in bed with them, and we're going to find out over time, the Gates Foundation's association with World Health and their associations with the P2 and the P4 lab in Wuhan. And I think people are going to be quite shocked about the involvement of, quite frankly, the United States of funding some of this research, right, over at NIH and also World Health Organization with our money funding certain things. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt, and this has been reported in State Department cables by the Washington Post, which is not exactly a pro-Trump site, mm-hmm. that there were a number of signals for years of State Department officials in China that were concerned about this P4 lab, about the complete incompetence in its management and the risky type of experiments they were doing. This is equivalent. If you want to see what went on in that lab in Wuhan, just go to HBO and watch the series on Chernobyl. This was a biological Chernobyl of people who didn't know what they were, not totally professionally trained, doing risky things. Just like in Chernobyl, they did those experiments on the reactor that you didn't have a qualified crew, and they screwed it up. And from that time forward, the regime just tried to cover it up, and they didn't care what happened to the people in Chernobyl, the people in the Ukraine, or the people in the world. It's the exact same analogy here. Incompetent people doing risky things, not supervised, and once things get out of control, they lie about it. And that's exactly what you have here. And today, the American people have a perfect example of Bill Gates, one of these globalists, right, who says the big problem, you know, Gates points to the big problem in this thing is nationalism. The big problem is Italy and the United States, all these populists and these nationalists, the two nationalists. That's the big problem. He identifies the problem of this as nationalism, but don't say anything about the Chinese Communist Party. Don't say anything about the guys in Beijing. This is the hypocrisy and greed and malevolence of the American elites, personified by the tech community as personified by Bill Gates.
Why is the elite left in the United States protecting the Chinese
Communist Party? Because they make more money with them. The business model works. Slave labor in China, right, and make people here, the working class here, serfs. It's a business model that works. Mm-hmm. It's worked for 15 or 20 years. That's why the jobs all shifted over to China. Mm-hmm. All the manufacturing, the managed decline of America is because our elites made more money. Mm-hmm. They like the China model. Mm-hmm. They don't care about the Chinese people. Remember, the Chinese people are actually the biggest victims here. They're the most decent, hardworking people on earth. They're essentially slave labor, right? They were forced to go back to these factories at the tip of, you know, essentially the tip of bayonets to open the factories back up.
Right.
When they could have a second wave. You don't get a vote in China. People should keep in mind, of the 1.4 billion people in China, only 90 million are associated with the Communist Party members. Mm-hmm. And of that, only a couple thousand make a difference. One of the biggest things we're going to start to reveal over the next couple of weeks is the wealth, the enormous wealth of individuals in the Chinese Communist Party. And how much of that wealth is in the United States? They own billions of dollars of real estate in the United States.
So what if we just seize it?
They have billions of dollars of securities here.
Can we just seize it?
To run the Chinese Communist Party.
Can we just seize it?
Absolutely. You can seize their assets.
So I think you're onto something.
We should stop all the companies from trading here. We should seize their assets. We should seize. That's how you got to strip the sovereign immunity from them. But this is going to be, and politicians that defend this are going to be in the losing side of this argument. Okay, the American people have righteous indignation right now about what happened. This is at the doorstep of the Chinese Communist Party. This was brought on by our elites, mm-hmm. kowtowing to them and allowing them to operate like they've operated for the last 10, 15 years. And now it's come home to roost, and the people that bore the brunt on this are the American people, and particularly working class people in these big cities. We have 55,000 dead. Who knows how many we're going to end up with? Trillions of dollars of economic carnage and economic crisis that triggered a financial crisis that's far greater than 2008. The president's former Council of Economic Advisors, Kevin Hassett, is one of the smartest guys. He's volunteered as a patriot to go back in the White House volunteer to work every day during this crisis. He's on George Stephanopoulos yesterday. I think he says we're going to have unemployment the scale of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
None of this have to happen. Remember, and we'll put it back up today, and we'll discuss it today on the show. The Southampton University study in England says that 95% of all of this would not have happened if in late September they would have done with the common decency of any human being, say, hey, nothing to be ashamed of, but we have a SARS outbreak. We have a SARS outbreak, and here's what we have to do with it. Here's why they lied about it. It's not because it's a wet market. If it was truly a wet market, they would have come clean. The reason they lied about it is something about the P2 lab, the Chinese CDC P2 lab in Wuhan, and the P4, the really dangerous one, the P4 lab. The reason they hid it, the reason they lied about it, is they didn't want anybody, and they still haven't given us. By the way, today we don't really know if we have, and in fact most scientists say, we don't know if we have the original genome as they've given us, the real genetic structure of this virus. This is why this virus is mutating all over the world. Look at the different way people die. They have a thing in the Washington Post the other day. People in the 20s and 30s die by a stroke. This thing has 30 mutations already. This is why I keep saying, don't sit in fantasy land and think you're going to have a vaccine anytime soon. Mm-hmm. You should assume, and every official has to assume, we're never going to have a vaccine. We might. That would be great. The earliest we're going to get it is a year and a half or 2 years. Now, you can't plan on having a vaccine. You can have therapeutics, and there's, 100 different alternatives mm-hmm. that people are looking at right now, including advanced research and what the president was saying the other day about the UV light. Mm-hmm. There's advanced research, but he wasn't as articulate as he normally is in describing that. But they're long-range, out years research being done on those things right now, as they should be. You should be looking at every alternative on therapeutics. Just like we've managed the AIDS epidemic, HIV, there's no vaccine for HIV, but there's a cocktail of therapeutics that manages that. That's what the CCP virus or COVID-19 is probably going to be. But the point is, it's their responsibility. Mm-hmm. The president said a week ago, knowingly responsible, and that doesn't mean it came from the lab. That doesn't mean it was a bioweapons program. Knowingly responsible means they knew about it, they lied about it. If they'd come clean, you wouldn't be sitting in your apartment today with no job, no pension fund, no future, no baseball, no football, and John Frederick's having to schlep down to Atlanta to get a haircut.
Now, it's sad, right? Steve, let's get to politics.
No, it's not sad. This is an outrage.
It's outrage.
This is what the mainstream media and the Chinese Communist Party is doing. No, the mainstream media all night long, if they mention China at all, it's in a two-minute segment.
Right.
This should be all night. We shouldn't be at each other's throats. You shouldn't have to have people protesting, opening up. It ought to be some process we agree upon. But there's no need to turn on each other. Whether you're a right-wing conservative Tea Party guy, gun owner, or some left-wing progressive, the whole focus ought to be who started this. And who started this is the Chinese Communist Party. The biggest victims are the people in Wuhan, the good, decent citizens there, who, by the way, they died in the hundreds of thousands. They've lied from day one about how many people got infected here and how many people died. It's the Chinese are the biggest victims. Remember, it's their freedom that's going to drive this entire narrative, because I got to tell you, I think they've had a belly full of it, and you're going to start to see the pressure build.
Steve, let's get to politics. I mean, I got a couple more minutes. Joe Biden, how does he fit in this whole thing?
Well, listen, at the time of the time of President Trump came out with the historic stop the air traffic from China on January 31st, plus quarantine people, right? Biden chose, when Biden had a choice, a decision, what did he do? He chose the side of Beijing. He took the party line in Mao, the exact thing Beijing was saying about Trump. He's a nativist. He's a racist. He's a xenophobe. Mm-hmm. That, to me, in a time of crisis, which actually Trump became a wartime president, is disqualifying. If you go back and look at Obama, knew we had to pivot to Asia, Middle East. He had this thing called the pivot to Asia. He deputized Biden to go put that into action. He was an abject failure. Mm-hmm. He kowtowed to the Chinese Communist Party. He was hoodwinked. The reason they've militarized the South China Sea, the reason they're more cyber attacks, The reason there's more economic warfare, the reason that they're on the offense and we're on the defense is Joe Biden failed when he was deputized by Barack Obama to take care of the problem. Right. In addition, he allowed his son, his deadbeat drug addict son, let me repeat that, his deadbeat drug addict son, to basically raise $1.5 billion of capital from the Chinese Communist Party's bank, the Bank of China, start a hedge fund that then invested in surveillance technology to enslave the Chinese people to build the firewall and to build this digital police state. That's the Biden family. Joe Biden's got blood on his hands, okay, just like the Chinese Communist Party. He's a business partner. He's been co-opted by the Chinese Communist Party. If that's what the Democrats want to run in the fall, God bless them. Run it. And they can take out all the spots about President Trump saying this about Xi. Take them all out. It's not going to matter. The people in the upper Midwest, when pressed with the facts, they're going to understand Joe Biden's a globalist. Joe Biden has always taken the CCP party line. He's always backed the regime in Beijing. And we have a whole series of stuff we're going to reveal on Joe Biden about his relationship with Xi. Okay? He's up to his neck with the Chinese Communist Party. He is on the side of the enemy of the Chinese people, the American people, and all mankind. So if that's what they want to run, then God bless them. Put them up and let's see what happens.
Steve Bannon, last question. What's the objective now of the DNC, the Democratic Party? Another $700 billion. They want bailout state governments. Plus, to do that, they want new rules to vote by mail. They don't want anything open, right? You look at what they're doing in Michigan, all the swing states with Democratic governors. They want the economy to continue to tank. What's their objective here, Steve?
Well, listen, you're in a time of crisis. But I got to tell you, I just think the fourth package is going to be, I don't say politicized, but I think people are saying, hey, we really got to think about the balance sheet of the United States, right? We can't. I keep teasing every day that we're the United States of the Federal Reserve. This massive cash infusion off the balance sheet is basically it's the full faith and credit of the United States. If that gets back, it's on the shoulders of the deplorables. And so I think this has to be gone through in a very, very detailed way. I don't believe there's going to be a $2 infrastructure plan. I know the president wants that. The Democrats aren't going to give that to him. I think right now this has got to be very focused on the opening of the economy in a smart way so this thing doesn't blow back on us. We don't want that to happen. These governors got to work in unison. I think the president's going to start taking additional leadership, and I think particularly in the messaging of the economic part of this, which is moving to kind of that phase. So I would stand by. The country has to come together. This is a crisis. It's a war.
You would agree with me, though, that
our marginal differences aside to pull together.
You would agree with me, though, that right now the messaging coming out of the White House is worse than I've ever seen it. It's garbled. It's mixed. You never know from one day to the other what they're talking about. Trump says one thing. Fauci says something else. Pence says another thing. Dr. Birx runs over to NBC, disputes that. I mean, the messaging coming out of that place and those press conferences are horrific. How are you going to change that?
I think it's action. I've advocated for a long time. Bifurcate that group into an economic working group into the medical and the pandemic,
right.
Which Vice President Trump's on. I think now it's action. Your messaging is your action. We're now into the game that, look, we've through preseason, we've got to get now to start opening up the economy.
Right.
This has got to be done very smartly in a tough, focused, data-driven, science-backed way. We know this concept the vice president has of mass on point. That's mass therapeutics, mass surveillance, tracking, testing, and also this antibodies testing. We've got to bring all three of those together. We've got to open this up smartly and toughly. In a tough way, and just get on with it. I think the messaging follows the actions. The key is get the action plan set, execute